With more books appearing every day, finding a book that's worth the money and the time it takes to read becomes a challenge. The publishing business worries over this as much as readers do, and they've taken to talking frantically at conferences about discoverability. This week, we offer a bit of discovery from the staff of Publishers Weekly. Hello and welcome to Beyond the Book, Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. My name is Chris Keneally, and joining me, as he does every Friday from the offices of Publishers Weekly, is senior writer Andrew Albanese. Andrew, welcome back.
Hey there, Chris.
Well, as I said, you know, the problem for readers these days is just, what do I read? There's so much to pick from. And so this week, you're going to help out because PW staff has its annual staff picks issue.
That is right. Monday's issue is our annual staff picks issue, which fits nicely with our summer reads issue as well, which is available on the PW website. But, you know, Chris, you've been to the PW offices here and you've seen the stacks and stacks of books. Imagine the task, if you will, of finding, you know, the next great read out there among all these books. Well, lucky for you, we're here to help. With their usual heady mix of erudition and trenchant criticism and questionable humor, the PW staff steps up with some really great suggestions this week. And, you know, while we're here, I'll offer you a pick of my own. And that is Boris Koschka's Hot House. It's a book about Roger Strauss and the legendary publisher Farrar, Straus & Giroux. So when I first knew about this book, which is going on a couple of years now, everything told me that this book just really couldn't work. You know, I first, you know, spoke to Boris about it at the 2011 Frankfurt Book Fair where he was doing some research. And I thought, you know, it sounds great, but, you know, at best, this is going to be a sleepy little book. You know, it's too insider. I thought, who out there among the general population really cares about, you know, the book publishing industry? Well, it's not so much. You know, after I read this book, Boris really nailed it. It's a dishy, expertly researched, and really beautifully written book, and it rises to the level of a great cultural history. You know, it's entertaining, it's evocative, and it's just fun to read. And for anybody who loves books, they will absolutely love this book. I personally think it's going to wind up on some shortlists for a book prize or two. And the bad news is it's not out until August, so you can't just run out to your bookstore and buy it right now. But I will tell you all now, mark this one down on your calendars for the summer, and when it comes out this summer, run to your local indie bookstore to pick it up. You will not be disappointed.
And what about that title, Hot House? Why Hot House?
I think, you know, it was probably a difficult place to work, shall we say? whether it's low salaries or sort of the New York style of humor and living that went on at the house, it just was kind of a hothouse. Yeah,
it was a hothouse, and I bet you there's lots of plays on words there. It was a hothouse of ideas, but as you say, it might have been hot to have to work around there. Well, and that book, Hot House, is published, or will be published in August, as you say, by Simon & Schuster. And this week, they've reported on their results and continuing a trend with their first quarter numbers.
Yeah, that's right. You know, Hot House is published by the fine folks at Simon & Schuster, and they revealed this week their first quarter figures, which, you know, once again showed declining sales and surging profits. You know, overall for SNS, it was a good quarter. Now that the legal bills associated with the DOJ mess are behind them, things look to get even better. But despite a 3% decline in sales, they posted a 20% jump in profits. So I think more proof that ebooks are proving to be a profitable business.
Well, indeed, but when it comes to profitable businesses, self-publishing can be, and it can also be a way to lose a heap of money. And it turns out we've got a class action suit filed against Author Solution, which is a major provider of those services. Tell us about what's behind that suit.
Yeah, this is the really interesting news of the last week. As you said, there's an author, three authors have filed suit against self-publishing service provider Author Solutions and its parent company, Penguin, which bought the company last year for $116 million. These authors air a laundry list of complaints, and they throw around the V word, vanity press. The suit is seeks to become a class action, which it could potentially bring in, you know, hundreds more authors. And it alleges that Author Solutions misrepresents itself as an indie publisher and then lures authors in and profits from upselling them services that are either subpar or non-existent. The suit alleges fraudulent practices that include delaying publication and then publishing manuscripts with errors so they can generate fees for corrections, and that they fail to pay royalties. And then a neat little twist here, the case is before someone who knows a little bit about the publishing industry now, Judge Denise Cote here in New York, who is currently presiding over the ongoing ebook price fixing mess. So, you know, a few observations about this suit. First, I think this case could really strike a nerve. It comes at a boom time for self-publishing, as you well know, and it kind of recalls the dark self-publishing past, you know, the days of the vanity press, places like Vantage, where unsuspecting authors were kind of wooed in by companies and then only to be saddled with really expensive fees and left with, you know, basements full of crappy books that they were forced to buy. Now, it remains to be seen if the case is going to have any legal merit. It may just be a case of some disgruntled self-published authors not really reading the fine print of their contracts. But the complaint certainly makes for a fascinating read. And you can imagine that there's probably a large contingent of similarly discontented self-published authors out there. And you know, those guys would probably love to join in getting a peek behind the self-publishing curtain. So I think this suit has the potential to get some traction. You know, there are tons of new self-publishing services out there, as you know, and there are a lot of self-published authors with varying degrees of success, and a lot of whom I think have parted with pretty significant money to get, you know, their undiscovered gem of a manuscript out there to the world. I also think that there's a lot of class action law firms out there that are suddenly looking at the digital publishing world like a piggy bank of sorts. So I expect that you're probably going to see a few copycat cases filed as well on this issue. You know, copycat cases are common in consumer class actions. You remember it happened with the consumer ebook case where Higgins Berman filed in Seattle the first suit alleging price fixing, and then three or four more followed quickly that later had to be consolidated by the court, and all the firms were fighting it out to be the lead counsel. You know, it looked as, you know, when that first happened with the consumer ebooks lawsuit, it looked as if all the other firms just cut and pasted Higgins Berman's complaint into a new document and filed a new lawsuit. And I think you might see that actually happen with this case as well. So we're going to be following this very closely on the PW website. And I'll add one final observation about this whole self-publishing issue. It's another unfortunate legal battle for the industry, and I hope that we can get to a place with self-publishing, perhaps through literary agencies being involved, where authors' interests are protected before they sign contracts with services they may not understand. I really think this is crucial going forward, and I hope people will eventually realize that, you know, class action is not really the best mechanism to address these things. You know, class action lawyers are starting to taking home millions, while those truly affected by these bad deals are walking away with little to nothing. I still obviously believe in the legal system, and I definitely trust class action to resolve big issues like this. But it does look to me like law firms or law firm profits, I should say, are driving litigation in the digital publishing arena right now, and that's a trend I think would be good to sort of begin to draw down.
Right. Well, it's fascinating and a very nice and balanced summary of the issues involved, Andrew. And, you know, this is probably the price of popularity as well. People becoming involved with self-publishing who wouldn't have even thought of publishing a book only a few years ago.
I think that's true. And I think that's especially true now because there's money in the game. You know, you saw Author Solutions has reported sales of over $100 million a year. Penguin bought them for $116 million last year. And you're starting to see self-published books pop up on bestseller lists. You know, back when self-publishing was just a little fringe part of the industry, you know, not much interest in it. But now that there's some real money being generated there, you can see where some predatory services might be coming involved. Not to say that, you know, Author Solutions is one of those, but you can certainly see how the money changes everything.
Well, indeed it does. And on a final note, we have some good news for libraries when it comes to ebooks. Hachette is now back in the game.
Absolutely. And readers can read more on that in the PW website as well. But yes, Hachette this week announced that it's going to make its entire front list available again in ebooks for libraries. That means that after a tough 2 years, all of the big six are once again participating in ebook lending with libraries, which I think obviously bodes well for everyone. And I think even better, and I think that the bigger news is that there's a really robust competition now for ebook lending services. It's not just Overdrive anymore. There's 3M and Baker and Taylor who have really gotten a toehold and are now scaling that market quite successfully. And I think that kind of competition is only going to benefit the library ebook market and ultimately the library patron. And so you can look for a lot more coverage on that stuff in the pages of PW, including in our ALA preview issue, which will be on June 10th.
Well, indeed, we can look for that in PW and look forward to talking to you again next week. Andrew Albanese, Senior Writer for Publishers Weekly, thanks for joining us.
Thanks as always, Chris.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as now images, movies, and television shows. Follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at beyondthebook.com. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.